Welcome to another non-award-winning edition of the Radio Chatter Podcast. I do appreciate you guys checking it out. And once again, it's two for the price of one. Man, I should charge you double for this, but I'm not going to. First off, it's the lovely Tia Carrere, as we're coming up on the 25th anniversary of that famed movie, Wayne's World. She talks about that and much, much more. And second, guitar player Frank Cannon from the band Tesla. They have a big 2017 lined up. He'll tell you everything that's going on in the Tesla world.
T minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 4, 3, 2, 1, and liftoff.
This is Radio Chatter with WRIF's own Meltdown.
As I always say, thank you guys so much for checking out Radio Chatter. I do appreciate it. Tesla's guitarist Frank Cannon coming up here in just a few minutes. But first, with the 25th anniversary upon us from Wayne's World, I thought I'd get Tia Carrere on the show today. And I do appreciate her taking the time out to call us. It's the 25th anniversary, if you can believe that. I think the movie was released on February 14th of 1992. But this year, February 7th and 8th, they have all sorts of screenings all across the country that include an exclusive introduction by Peter Travers from Rolling Stone Magazine and ABC. And they capture the live chat with the director, Penelope Spheeris, and select cast members as well. And plus, they got a pre-taped Q&A, including Mike Myers, Dana Carvey, and Rob Lowe. I mean, this is going to be a big celebration with Paramount Pictures and Wayne's World. They got the double feature DVD, digital HD, and on February 14th, it's going to be made available on iTunes as well, with new-to-digital extras, including the director's commentary and the making of it as well. And of course, locally right here, we've got a big celebration at the Royal Oak Music Theater coming up on the 8th of February. And of course, you can call and win your passes on the radio through WRIF. Tia was supposed to call in at 12:30, and like the true professional that she was right on time.
Hi, it's Tia Carrere calling in.
Hey, Tia, it's Meltdown from WRIF here in the snow and the muck and the mire in Detroit.
Snow and the muck and the mire.
I'll tell you. I thought about you today. You're probably in Los Angeles or somewhere.
Yes, it's pretty beautiful out right now. I'm not going to gloat. No, but you know what? It was a disaster last Friday. Did you see what was going on here?
No.
It was like the end of days.
Wait, did it rain or something? Was there a cloud in the sky? What happened? I mean,
torrential rains. The streets were like Afghanistan. Huge boulders. People were swept away. It was a disaster.
Man, I'll tell you what. I was clearing off my truck of about literally 5 inches of snow, and I'm thinking to myself, I got to talk to Tia Carrere today. Yeah, that works. So, you know, ironically enough, I met you almost exactly, let's see, in 2009 when you did the pre-Grammys thing. That's when I met you for actually the only time.
Oh, yeah, at the junket.
Yeah, you know, the junket, yeah, at the Staples Center thing. And then I went
radio tour.
Right, I went to that Grammys thing the other night, a couple nights later, and Ron Jeremy sat behind me, so...
Oh, dear. A dubious distinction. It's amazing. Everybody knows him. Everybody knows this guy.
I was going to say, I wasn't sure if you would know who he was, you know, being, you know, Tia Carrere, but I guess I'm happy that you do, so...
Well, I've hung out in the club scene in Los Angeles for a few years, so I've seen him out and about.
Totally off the subject, but have you ever seen Steel Panther since you've been in the club scene in Los Angeles?
Oh, yeah. I was doing Dancing with the Stars live in Vegas, and Joey Fatone was friends with them. So we went to go see him at the Hard Rock Hotel. They were awesome.
Did you go up on stage with them?
No, I did not. I did not. Well, I mean, you kind of have to discuss that ahead of time. You know what I'm saying?
Right. But you are a singer, so it wasn't out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah, I totally should. But Joey had set it up ahead of time, so he got up and sang.
There you go. Perfect. Well, I guess the reason you're calling, we got to get to that, the 25th anniversary of Wayne's World. And the first thing I'm thinking of right here is, first of all, it's worldwide, February 7th and 8th. And now your daughter is 11. I have a 13-year-old and a 15-year-old. And my son went through a phase, I think, last year or the year before, where all he did was watch Wayne's World. He just loved it. He watched it over and over and over again.
Oh, wow. That's incredible.
But it's kind of cool how, like, 25 years, and now it's like a whole new generation of kids are seeing, like, Wayne's World. You know, I think I read that you kind of watched your daughter from afar. You don't really like to watch your work and you see her reaction and stuff. But talk about, like, a new generation seeing this movie.
Well, I wish I hadn't shown it to her, but I didn't know that we would be having a 25th re-release on the big screen. But so it was last Christmas, I think. I said, hey, we're looking for stuff, you know, during Christmas vacation. Like, what do? You watch the entire series of Harry Potter films.
Right, right.
You watch all of the Star Wars films. And so I said, hey, let's watch, you know, the Wayne's World. And I was watching her from the kitchen and got to see her laughing at the jokes. And yeah, it was pretty cool. It was pretty cool.
Now, it's funny because you're talking about Christmas movies, and I'm a big movie buff when it comes to Christmas. And one of my favorites is Trapped in Paradise. I don't know if you ever saw that. It's kind of like, it's on the side scale of Christmas movies, but it's got Nicolas Cage and John Lovitz and Dana Carvey, and we're watching the movie, and I said,
oh my gosh, I gotta see this movie. I've never heard of it.
Yeah, it was filmed in Niagara-on-the-Lake, which I really like, and the whole thing. But anyways, I said to my son, I go, Shane, that guy right there is Garth. He's like, no, it's not. I'm like, yes, it is. Like, they don't realize, you know?
Awesome. So cute.
But I'm always, you know, one of the things being a parent that I always really like is watching some of these movies that I grew up with the kids. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. That's why it was such a gift when they had the event here last week for with Penelope Spheeris and I, that they filmed, actually, that'll be shown after the movies there on February 8th. It's a little video package that'll be shown after the film. Getting to bring my daughter and sit in the theater so she can watch it on the big screen. That was pretty cool.
Now, you mentioned Penelope, and of course, she had a lot to do with the decline of the Western civilization, which is a great rock movie. And you said, I think I read somewhere that you watched that. You could appreciate all that, all the metal and all that stuff, huh?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm being in L.A. since, I guess, 84. That was the scene on the Sunset Strip at that time. You know, the Troubadour and the Roxy and all that.
Yeah, and then this movie came out in, you know, February of 1992, and as you know, the world was changing when it came to music. In the fall of 1991, of course, grunge started to hit, and I think this movie kind of landed at the right time, because I think a little bit later, who knows what would have happened because of the change in music scene and everything.
Yeah, it was. It's. I mean, whenever a film hits it big like this, it's just this serendipitous lineup of everything. You know, the story and the music and just the timing.
Mm-hmm. Were you in any of the grunge bands or anything? Can you appreciate any of that stuff?
Oh, I love Nirvana. Like, one of my favorite things to listen to is Nirvana on MTV Unplugged. Remember that show?
Yes.
That was quite something to hear their music, you know, unplugged.
Yeah, I have a 90s syndicated rock show, and I play a lot of that stuff too. And I think people will be pleased to hear that you're a big fan of that. That was one of the biggest CDs released from that series, I think.
Yeah, the MTV Unplugged, yeah, of them performing in particular.
Yeah.
It's just such a sad waste when he went.
Yeah, he's going to be 50, by the way, this year. Or he would have been.
Yeah, well, I just turned it. Hello. It's crazy. I probably shouldn't say it as a woman to be saying that out loud, but literally, Wayne's World was 25 years ago. It's like half my life ago.
Right, exactly. How can that be? I'm not very far behind you. Trust me when I tell you. I think I was 23 when I saw it for the first time.
I was 23 when I was in the movie.
Yeah, talk about some of the other guys that were in the movie with you, like Mike Myers and Dana Carvey, obviously. What were your relationships like with them?
They're very sweet. You know, everybody thinks that comics are always so crazy and over the top and must be funny all the time, but they're usually very shy guys. Comics are usually very shy.
Yeah, Dana seems like a guy who would kind of, he does seem shy. I've heard interviews with him lately because he's out there pushing his Netflix stand-up. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't, but I've been wanting to go and see. He and Lovitz are doing a monthly gig in Vegas that I want to fly out to Vegas and go see. I think that would be a blast.
Do you keep in touch with any of these guys?
Yeah, well, I've seen Dana a few times. Whenever he's out to doing his shows, I'll come out and see and sit in the front row and, hey, what's going on? And Lovitz that I worked with on High School High, he's a friend of mine as well. And Mike, I went to go visit him in New York once, but that was, before when his son was a year old or something. Now he's got two more kids after that.
I saw him in that Chef Gordon documentary. He went through some rough times, and Chef Gordon kind of helped him along there.
Yeah, well, Chef Gordon's such a wonderful and generous guy, and he just did a great documentary about his life. I thought it was so well done that Mike directed that documentary. You should definitely see it. Whoever's out there, go and see Supermensch, directed by Mike Myers, about a legendary rock figure, Shep Gordon.
Yeah, it was great. And, of course, he's a big time with Alice Cooper. What are your fondest memories from the movie with Alice Cooper?
Now, that's a sad thing for me because I was so exhausted because I had to film during the day and then go and rehearse my songs and record in the studio at night. So I couldn't even be there. Sorry about this dog.
That's all right.
I couldn't be there when Alice was recording his scene. So it's just a bummer, you know.
So you've never had a chance to meet Alice?
No, I never did. Isn't that crazy?
Wow.
Because you think like, oh, well, people that are in a movie together, they get to meet each other and hang out. But yeah, that was one day that I was like, I'm just too beat. I have to go and do this thing later. So, oh, well, missed opportunity.
Yeah, there you go. What kind of fond memories? I mean, and I know you've answered this question before, but like, what are your best memories from doing this movie?
Best memories. I think when we were shooting the Stan Makita donut shop, I think it was the night that Foxy Lady was being done. So because it was such a intricate camera move, it kind of gave the guys a little bit of, well, actually Mike, some time down to relax. And so we were all hanging out outside, you know, 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the morning. And Mike was just getting a little punch drunk and he was just coming up with all these funny voices. I mean, I think he started doing his Scottish accent, which you later saw in Axe Murderer. And then he also came up with another character that I saw him do on SNL. So, you know, it's just one of those creative, funny moments where you know, you saw something happening before your eyes.
Well, Tia, it looks like our time is coming to a close here, and I really want to thank you for your time here. The worldwide February 7th and 8th of the 25th anniversary of Wayne's World, and I mean, it's just going to be a great... It's weird to think that movies would actually celebrate their 25th anniversary. I can't really remember too many doing that.
Yeah, I mean, well, there's not too many that will command an audience like this. I mean, it's sort of the Rocky Horror Picture Show of our time. You know, that's gone on for decades and decades as well.
Yeah, that's true. Well, Tia, thanks so much, and good luck in the future, and good luck with all your stuff you got going on this weekend surrounding the Wayne's World re-release, I guess.
Thank you so much. Party on. Bye.
Excellent! Party time! There you go, Tia Carrere. And I've said this before online and whatnot, but Tia is as pretty and as nice in person as you would think. Just throwing that out there. Good stuff from Tia Carrere. Like I said, keep it locked on WRIF for your chance to score passes to go check out the 25th anniversary screening of Wayne's World with all this stuff. The introduction from Peter Travers, Penelope Spears, and select cast members doing the live chat, the pre-taped Q&A with Mike Myers, Dana Carvey, and more. And don't forget about that double feature DVD and digital HD. Comes out on February 14th. Going to include iTunes, new to digital extras, including the director's commentary and making of featurettes as well. So there you go. Everything surrounding Wayne's World right there in a nutshell. In the meantime, talked with Frank Cannon from Tesla. They got a big tour coming up this summer. Some new music coming out. We talked about the old days as well. And I just asked Frank, first off, how's things in the Tesla world?
Things are rocking, man. What's up, Meltdown?
Not much. Thanks, man. I've been doing this for 27 years. I don't know if I've ever had a chance to meet or interview you. So it's kind of cool to get you on the show. I appreciate the time.
27 years, and you know, we've been to Riff so many times, so I'd be surprised if we haven't ran into each other.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's funny you should mention that, because I grew up in Buffalo, and I remember I used to sneak into the radio station, like in 1986, 1987, and I used to make demo tapes, and my friend was the overnight jock, and I would always make demo tapes, and every single time, one of the songs I had to use was Modern Day Cowboy. Just every single time, I just had to use that song, so...
Well, I appreciate that, man. And you know, it blows us away. Here we are 30 years later and still kicking. We're just kicking off our tour tonight here in the Chicago area. We're rehearsing for it. We're actually going to kick it off on Wednesday. But you know, we're going to be gone for this whole month, and we're just blown away that we're still able to do it.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And plus, with mostly original members, I was trying to think. I know Tommy's left and stuff, but you guys have pretty much been a gang for your whole career.
Yeah. We're 4 out of 5 original members, and you know, we've had a lot of ups and downs, a lot of things that have put us to the test. The core of the band is still together. We still have our original lead singer and myself as the songwriters, and Brian Wheat and Troy Licata. It's, you know, yeah, we're very grateful to still be doing it.
Now, you just said some of the things that put you to the test. I mean, I'm assuming that, you know, just like you with coming out in the 80s and stuff, the 90s kind of put you guys to the test. Is that true?
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's not even so much. I mean, yeah, you're right. Every era has a different style of music and trends that come, you know. But it wasn't so much that. It was more ourselves and the problems that we created and had within ourselves as people, you know, just growing up. You know, myself, I was really young, man. I was 19 when I wrote that first album in 86. And, you know, and then being in my 20s through the 90s and, you know, all of us just had a lot of problems and you know, and then, you know, a lot of business dealings and things and challenges and stuff. But, you know, we've overcome it, man. And but most of people's problems in life are self-inflicted, and a lot of our problems are self-inflicted.
I hear you.
You know, excuse my language. Maybe you can bleep that
you're
out.
You're good.
I'm not going to blame it on Nirvana, man. You know what I mean?
A lot of
bands blame their career failures on Nirvana and the grunge movement, but we don't feel that way because, you know, I can still play Modern Day Cowboy today and it still gets the crowd going.
There's no question. And, you know, yeah, back in the 90s, it almost seemed like, you know, look, I started in radio in 1990, and it seemed like during the 90s that music like you guys and Motley and a bunch of other stuff would just go away. But in the early 2000s, all of a sudden, it came back stronger than ever, it seems like.
Yeah, you know, it never really went away. It just kind of, you know, everything is like a wave, man. It's like the ocean. You just see waves, and that's how life is. And music is the same way, and styles and trends. It just comes in waves, you know. But the strong survive through those waves and ride those waves like a surfer, man. And, you know, we had some tribulations. We had to, you know, we had to break up for a while and get back together. And now we're riding a new wave. We're out with Def Leppard this year. We've been out touring with Def Leppard, and we're working with Phil Collin. And this year it's going to be reunited with Poison, all the original members. And so, you know, we're on a crest of a wave right now that's really good.
Yeah, and unfortunately that tour, for some reason, is not coming to Detroit. I know you guys hit up Detroit quite a bit, but Grand Rapids and stuff like that. But you will be at the Fillmore coming up on February 21st. And if I'm not mistaken, you toured with Def Leppard and Poison at the peak of their success in the late 80s, didn't you guys?
Yes, in 1987, we toured with both Poison and Def Leppard at different times on major headline tours. And so this is kind of like a family reunion, so to speak. And, you know, both of those bands were very instrumental in the beginnings of our career 30 years ago. It's hard to believe 30 years. But yeah, Tesla's coming to Detroit as a headliner here this month, and we have a very special show we put together. We've got a 30-year anniversary. We've got some new things that we're doing in our show. We have new songs. We got some new production with some video footage of our old days. It's going to be a lot of fun.
That is cool. Yeah, that Def Leppard tour in 1987, Hysteria. Now, I was a kid back in Western New York watching, you know, the MTV and the whole thing. And you saw all the videos. So was it as raunchous and just as wild as you would think?
It was, man. All the stories are true. All the rumors are true. You know, it was a crazy thing. But, you know, the times were fun back then, man. In the 80s, everybody was just really into having fun. I mean, look at all the styles and the clothes and everything. The music was fun. The girls were fun, you know. And so, yeah, everybody was just having fun, you know. And unfortunately, it's a couple of guys couldn't survive it, man. And, you know, we're just glad to be here today, and we've kind of toned it down just a tiny bit.
As most bands have that I've followed throughout my career, that I've actually played their songs on the radio for the first time, and next thing you know, it's 15 years later, they got friends and families and kids, and they're working out now all the time, you know?
Yeah. You know, your body gets older, man, and so you got to, like, you know, you got to treat it differently.
Yeah. Now, you're doing this tour in the summer, like you said, with Def Leppard and Poison. I apologize. There's like a two-second delay here, so I don't want to talk over you. So, you guys are also doing some of these festivals, and I talked with bands recently. Like, in the last 10 or 12 years, these festivals have really popped up with Danny Wimmer and stuff like that. And talk about playing some of these festivals for these giant crowds.
Man, the festivals are amazing. And, you know, I'm very proud of Tesla, my band, because we're able to play these festivals with so many different groups. We've been on festival shows with Iron Maiden, Kiss, and then we've done another festival with Santana and Matchbox 20. And, you know, our music is flexible, and, you know, we experiment with acoustic guitars and electric guitars, and we don't just stick to just one box of genre. So I'm very proud of that we've done a lot of those festivals with so many diverse bands. And I'll tell you a story. We were in Germany playing a heavy metal festival, man. And, you know, I can't remember the name of the band, but it was like, you know, Morbid Death or something like that. And, you know, we were all a little nervous thinking, okay, we're going to go out there in front of these German people singing Love Will Find a Way and get booed off the stage. But it was the opposite, man. The people loved it. They were receptive to it. And so, you know, music makes people feel good. And our music has always tried to have a positive message in it. And we've done a lot of huge festivals in many different situations. And I'm very proud of that.
Yeah, you guys, I think, are doing like Rocklahoma and all sorts of festivals. That's pretty cool. And plus, I'm sure some of the newer bands would stand on the side of the stage and watch you guys play as well.
We've had a lot of newer bands surprisingly come up to us and say that we have been their influences, you know. And that, for me, I feel like I'm just a guy from South Sacramento still playing in the garage. So it's very, it makes you feel good to have a young musician that's successful. Now, you know, some of these bands aren't really new anymore, but, you know, like Mark Tremonti from Creed actually paid some respect to me, man, and told me I was an influence. And that really made me feel good. When a guy had a band that's successful like that, he said that my guitar playing had influenced them. That's a really cool feeling. That's really rewarding, man. And so, yeah, there's another band that really supported Tesla was Saliva. That, you know, Josie, them guys, they like Tesla a lot.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, Mark Tremonti is a good Detroit boy. He grew up here.
Oh, that shows you. He's a great guy, man. He's got a lot of heart. And I went down to his place in Florida and hung out, and he was a really cool guy.
Yeah. Hey, what are some of your favorite Tesla songs that you've written?
Well, you had mentioned Modern Day Cowboy, and, you know, that's one of my favorite guitar songs, collaborations, and, you know, and plus the lyrics are very powerful but simple at the same time. And then on the other end of the spectrum, you know, I'd say What You Give, you know, because it kind of has a little bit of a country flair on the music, and it's very simple, but it has a lot of heart in it. And so those two are some of my favorites.
Yeah, What You Give is interesting, too, because, you know, that's a seven and a half minute song, and it became a big hit for you guys.
Yeah, it's bizarre, man, how a lot of the songs that were voted least likely to succeed by the record companies, they would end up being the ones that were fan favorites.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool, man. The fans know what they like, you know, and the music, people that love music know what they like. And, you know, you can only get force-fed the stuff for so long.
Yeah, now a couple more things here for you, Frank, and we'll cut you loose once again on February 21st, coming up to the Fillmore. Somebody mentioned social media, and I was thinking about that earlier when you were talking about back in the 80s, everybody just wanted to have fun. Now everyone's got cameras, and they videotape everything and film everything. What are your thoughts on social media? Are you on Twitter and stuff like that?
I haven't gone on the Twitter yet, but my social media friend has been trying to hook me up with Twitter. But I am on Facebook, and, you know, people can find me on Facebook and TeslaTheBand.com, FrankHannon.com. You know, and someone, I have a guy that's trying to teach me how to do social media, and he hooked me up with Instagram. So, you know, I think on this tour, I'm going to try to get involved more in that. And I think the computer stuff, it's so amazing how technology has evolved. I mean, I really miss, you know, having albums and CDs and stuff like that. You know, all the music now is on your phone, so you don't get that same experience. But the flip side to that is if you're a musician and you're a band, you can create your own products, and you have no reason not to, you know, be able to promote yourself and do your artwork. And so it's all good, man. Here we are. Who would have thought we'd have made it this far?
A couple more things real fast. Advice for upcoming musicians. Now, one of my friends who's in a touring band told me one time off the air, and I'm not going to say who it was, but he says, I'll tell you what, if I could tell anyone that's in a brand new band, I would tell them, don't bang chicks all over the country on the first tour.
Oh, yeah? Don't do it. Don't do it. Yeah, you know, I mean, that causes a lot of problems, man. Yeah.
Well, that's what he said. The next time you go back into that town, there she is.
yeah, that can create some problems, man. I would say focus more on your music and sticking together with your bros and trying to create a thing that's going to last for a while.
Yeah, there you go. And you guys got the new record coming out. Phil Collin from Def Leppard is helping you guys with this. Tell us about what the new project is going to be like.
Tesla has been in the studio with Phil Collin now, actually, for almost a year, man. We've been creating the studio environment in the dressing room on tour. We've recorded in the back of the truck. We've set up the computer. That's what I was saying earlier about technology, is it's great for artists because you can record anywhere and you can put it together on the computer. We've been recording in the dressing rooms, on the tour bus, and we've been putting together a collage of music that's going to be available at the end of this year, we're hoping. And it's really, really exciting because it sounds like Tesla, but it's definitely stepped up a notch in the production because Mutt Lang taught Phil Collin a lot of tricks and a lot of techniques, and so we're learning a lot from Phil, and it's freaking great.
Well, that's cool. Frank, thanks so much for the time. Have a great tour this summer with Def Leppard and Poison, and of course, Tesla right here at the Fillmore on February 21st, and I think you talked me into going to the show. Do you drink whiskey at all?
I'll do a shot with you.
All right, there you go. Perfect. Hey, Frank, thanks so much, man. We look forward to seeing you here in a couple of weeks here in the Motor City.
We'll see you then, man.
What a great band Tesla is from the 80s. There's no question about it. There was a few bands I really liked back in the day. I liked all of them, as a matter of fact. But as years gone by, some have kind of fallen out of favor just with, you know, different things coming around. But Tesla has always remained one of my favorites, along with the guys from, like, Cinderella. I mean, two just great, like, bluesy rock bands. And I got to thank Frank. Like I said, the tour coming up this summer, Def Leppard, Poison, Tesla, and right here in Detroit, if you're listening to this here in Southeast Michigan on February 21st at the Fillmore. Hey, coming up later this week, maybe even tomorrow, check back. Dave Mustaine from Megadeth. He's making a stop in the Motor City on Friday and Flint on Saturday. I'll tell you what that's all about coming up here tomorrow. In the meantime, thank you guys so much for listening. You can share this with your friends, put it on your social media, whatever, and hit me up on my social media at MeltdownWRIF on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, the whole thing. And thanks so much for checking out Radio Chatter.